Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bouchard.
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, and welcome to 2020, the year, well, hopefully we all see better or something. I don't like what I've been seeing, but more on that later. And with me, as always, to get through all the trials and tribulations that is the, well, now 2 weeks that was Caps hockey. And do you, Puente para Quap?
Yes, Marty McFly.
Well, don't call me chicken. inside joke for those of you that are not on the Facebook page. Please join us, by the way. Look for the Power Play Point Podcast on the Facebook. And join us there. Get in on the action. Get in on the discussion. We have game threads all the time. Thank you very much. That, of course, is the dulcet tones of the one and only mermaid, Anna Knox.
Yes. Happy 2020, Gil. I know you're not a fan of New Year's and changing over the calendar.
Look. Yeah, exactly. You know what? We're all okay. I love an excuse to party and drink bubbly stuff, bubbly sweet stuff, along with the rest of the persons that inhabit this planet we all walk around on. But of all things, to celebrate the flipping of the calendar,
I love it.
I think about it. That's all we're supporting.
No, I think for. You know, sometimes people need those milestones, you know, and to be like, hey, you know, it's been a year since, or sometimes there's a good anniversary and you're going to flip the calendar and be like, hey, it's our 10th, 20th, 50th wedding anniversary. Or, you know, sometimes it's a little bit more depressing and it's like a anniversary of somebody passing, but I was all for flipping the calendar. I was ready for 2020.
I was all for flipping off the calendar because I was sick of 2019, but yeah. That's just me.
Yeah, no, it's just the second half of 2019 was rough for me, at least. And it was, It was draining and I was like, all right, fuck off, let's go. So I was happy to turn it over and I happened to have taken a spontaneous trip to the Outer Banks. For a couple of days. And so I spent my New Year's down there with fantastic weather. So I will say my 2020 kicked off so far amazing. And then, of course, that ridiculous win today against the Sharks, which I know we will talk about later. But
we will be discussing that in some detail on this podcast episode yet.
Yes. So I was ready to flip the calendar. I'm always ready for a fresh start. I know you're just like, blah, blah, blah. But I like it. I think it's good to have a clean slate, as they say.
Oh, yeah, I like it.
Do we need to explain the buttercup thing or no? We'll just let people go.
Like I said, I mean, if you don't know what we're talking about, it's inside joke reserved for our very special members who have signed on with us on the Facebook page. Basically, real quick, we Anna and I did the whole who are you as an 80s movie character, and Anna got Princess Buttercup. I almost fell into the clergyman again. Anna drew the character from the lead character from the Princess Bride movie, of course, Princess Buttercup, and I got Marty McFly. And that's what that all was about. And Brian Bigham did it too.
Well, he started it, and not, but he got Jed Nelson from Breakfast Club, which
is that's
freaking the coolest.
I see that.
And I don't usually, sorry, that got really loud there for a second. I don't usually do those quizzes because it's like, oh, what kind of pasta would you be? Or if you could be a crayon, what color would you be? It's, you know, some of the stuff is like so stupid, but the 80s is like, that's my thing. And music, movies, some of the fashion.
We're both children of the 80s. So no getting around that.
No. So when he posted that, I was like, oh my. And I will say, Brian was the first person to see, because I'm like, this is hilarious. I said, Princess and Anna Knox are not, there's no connection ever with that.
Right. And then, but like you said, you know, a good way to kick off, you know, 2020. That was one of the first posts that we had for this year. So
Marty McFly.
That's kind of, that's kind of me in a nutshell. I'm always getting into some sort of trouble with somebody and, you know, looking for, I don't know, some way to look back on history and apply it to now. And I guess if you think about it that way, but as bad as 2019 may have been in some aspects, at least we had a great hockey team to watch. So let's, catch up if we can, real quick. We're going to fly by the 2 weeks past. Okay, so it's six games we have to cover. All right, so the first of which was the Boston game. Just going to draw a line through that. They didn't look ready to play. They were flat. Yeah. It was a blowout. They were blown up. The Bruins were obviously pumped. It was a nice. And frankly, I don't know about you, but I turned the game off after the fifth goal. I opted for a good night's sleep. It didn't get any better after that. Done, over with. Pasta, you go do more Dunkin' Donuts commercials. Fine. I don't give a crap. You can run away with the Richard Trophy or even. I don't care. I don't think the movie will even care either. So, adios to that game. Next game out was the first game against the. The second game they had this season against the Blue Jackets. It's a pretty good game. It's a hard-fought. My note says hard-fought win. Ocean, Samsonov were both superb in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Oshie, of course, with the game winner. So that was a good one to watch. Next was the Carolina game, the first of the two Carolina games. My note here says Jensen looked really, really bad. In fact, I have a couple notes here. What is he doing trying to sell? Is he a salesman at Mattress Discounters? Because all I see is him lying down. Maybe he's a human turnstile. Maybe he works for the Washington Metro. Because people are getting past him. Yeah, just not that. Yeah. I mean, overall, the team played okay. But as we know, as at least as AT&T tells us, just okay is not okay. Mm-hmm. And it was really hard game to watch because the play wasn't organized. It was a mess and it was just crap. And yeah, so it was another loss there. New York Islanders, it was better effort. Better result, at least as far as the flow of play, but same result. That was kind of, I mean, it's an Islanders game that it's Barry Trotz's defensive clampdown system. Very hard to watch, very hard to enjoy, but you know, if you like that kind of thing, I guess you can bear it, you know, and for the kind of people that like that kind of thing, that's the kind of thing those people like. So,
yeah.
Another draw line through it game. Okay, so Carolina. So we're gonna somebody's suggestion, we're gonna go a little bit more in depth through the last two games.
Someone's
especially
suggestion.
Okay. Yeah. You guess who that someone is?
Princess.
Miss, you better not make this episode too long. I gotta go eat.
No, I ate before the episode. I'm just watching that. Right. Yeah. I'm like, I just have to get ready for school tomorrow. Boo. But yes, we're going to talk about the winning Carolina game, correct?
Yes, that
Thank
one.
God.
Thank God indeed. Yes. So that was this past Friday, the 3rd, as a 4-3 win. And let's see, what else do we have? Okay, and it was on the road, no less. Pardon me. Okay, quick recap of the vitals. 41 shots on goal. I say again, 41 shots on goal by Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
41 shots on goal. I'm not trying to make a joke out of this, but that's a song as well. It's actually a very song about a tragic incident, not to steer things, not to take a tangent off a cliff, but still, I mean, 41 shots given up. That is vomit inducing. And the D, as well as the rest of the team, should be ashamed of that. Power play, 10 chances total, 2 of 6 for the Canes, 2 of 4 for the Caps. 24 minutes in penalties. More on that later on in the show. But, yeah, that damn near doomed them. Now, thank God the shot blockers were on par. 12 shot blocks by the Caps. But ultimately a win. And number one star of the game, rightly so, was Ilya Samsonov, who got 37 out of those 41.
Yeah.
Kind of faltered a bit towards the end, maybe, but hung on, made a lot of key saves in the beginning, kept them in it. So this is pretty good. It's pretty good to see. Andrei Svechnikov, I don't know if I agreed with that. I don't think he actually did much.
So, yes, I agree with you on the Sammy, excuse me, stats in his game and everything. Like, it's just, I don't know, he just impresses me more and more. I know coming down the line, you know, we're going to see some losses, but overall, the kid has absolutely impressed me, and he's just awesome. He is just awesome.
Yeah, there's no denying he came ready to play. Like I said, 37 out of 41. My math is way off, or not way off, but off. 38 out of 41.
Yep.
There's only 3 that he gave up. But yeah, he was clearly up to the task. Much better game overall. If you were paying attention to the overall flow, I think the Caps finally figured out how to play this team, how to beat their, well, I don't know about consistently beat their forecheck, but I think they figured out, based on their games previous with them and the Blue Jackets, because the Blue Jackets play kind of a similar style.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll send two guys forward and they will hound the defensive puck carrier, forcing a turnover or an early pass or a quick pass or something like that. I think the Caps finally figured out how to counter that, how to move
right.
The puck without, you know, without making, you know, the error, without doing stupid things, not try for the fancy goal, not try for the extra pass, but just, you know, head to the net, put it on net and do what they can with it. Go for the gritty goal. I mean, all you got to do is look through the highlights.
Right. Well, I was just going to say, when it comes to Carolina, and I think that, you know, we've looked at them as like that nemesis team, and, you know, just for whatever reason, it's just the Hurricanes just kind of get under everyone's skin. But I agree with you. I think they kind of figured out what to do against them, which is always a good thing. I think it's a different mindset when you have Sammy between the pipes. But what I think was really important to think about, though, was you have, there are 3 goals. You have one that was deflected, so it's kind of, you know, one of those at the right time, you know, right place, right time, and their player got in. But the other ones were on power play goals. So I think that, you know, that's something that the coaching staff is going to have to sit back and say, okay, here's where we need to tighten things up, you know, in the penalty kill and really, really kind of really come down, and not just Carolina, but every team, because for them to score in power play goals, you know, back to back, I would think that would absolutely stand out to the coaches and be something that they have to work on. So I found that to be kind of it was interesting. You know, it was interesting. I think that they have a rival there for sure. But I don't know. There's just, I don't know. I just can't say enough about Sammy. I'm just really impressed. But I won't throw Holtby to the wolves. No way. I just think that, you know.
No, I don't think, you know, I'm not going to join the caravan of those who have taken up pitchforks and torches and marching to the Villard Square demanding his head on a pike or anything like that.
No, but
if you're one of those people that are listening now, you might as well turn it off, because I'm sorry, I'm not going to be one of you. It's not time to get rid of him. Yes, I realize the economics of the situation don't lend itself very well, but I'm sorry, it's not time to get rid of him. No. It's not time to be done with him. It's not time to just throw all that away. I'm sorry. He's still got good years left in him. I'm not going to just forget all what he's done, what he is doing now. Sorry, not joining that camp.
No, but, and I'm not. And I will just say, as a sidebar to those same people who want to get rid of him, are the same people today that for 58 and a half minutes against San Jose were like, oh, he's gonna go to Seattle, get rid of him, do this, he sucks, he's that. Same people that once, you know, and I know we'll talk about it more, were then praising him after the win. And that's what I hate.
Of course.
You know, it's one thing, like, we can all get frustrated with players, but man, when you are so vicious and just cruel about somebody, and then you're like, oh, yeah, hey, that's why he's our number one goalie. That's why he won us the cup. Shut up.
Really?
Shut up. So, yeah. So, aside from that, I know we were talking about Carolina. So, for me, it was coaches getting on the players with power play goals, penalty kills, excuse me, and Sammy just kicking ass.
Yeah. Very true. Okay, so like I was saying, though, all you have to do to figure out that the Caps figured out what they were doing is look at the scoring summary, and not the fact that they got four goals against this Carolina team. I'm sorry, they're not all that great defensively. They're just not. It's how they scored the goals. That was the key. And you notice that a lot of the big names didn't really make the score sheet. Well, at least a whole lot, not in bunches. So, and the key, it was early on. Well, not early on, because there was no scoring in the first. But the opening goal was in the second period. My notes say, okay, so Ponick got it. It's on the deflection. And my notes say, yay, it went in.
That's what she said.
And that is indeed what she said. She being, of course, Mrs. Blue Liner. it went in.
No comment.
What? What'd I say?
Nothing.
Okay. But yeah, that's the reaction. That's the reaction that was gotten. It went in. And meaning that it didn't matter who got it.
It went in.
Yay, it went in.
Mm-hmm. Score.
And so that was his fifth of the season, Eller assisting on a nice little deflection that he got.
But can we have a moment for a sec for number 14, for the amount of crap we kind of gave him a little bit? Like, I don't know how, God, I'll say it was so last year, because it pretty much was, that we were waiting for Ponick to kind of come out, be more consistent, loving.
I'll give him his due. He's had a nice little run these last few games. So I think
it's just going to get better, to be honest. Yeah. I really think that he's going to be one that we're going to see consistently, definitely in our topic of conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. I never was really down on him. I don't think his defensive play was horrible. Of course, the lack of production. Yeah, I mean, but that's really not why they got him. He's a third and fourth liner.
Right.
So
but I think, I think we were like waiting for something. And I know, you know, complete opposite when we talk about Radko Gudas, it's like the same thing, but then they do things, small things consistently. And then the respect builds and the confidence builds. And it's like, okay, now we're good to go. Like 33-14, I expect to see fabulous things, you know, from those two and others, but those two in 2020 for sure.
Yeah, I would agree. I would definitely agree. I think that now, I don't know if it was a comfort thing or what it was, but he just didn't look like he fit in. And I think now he understands the scheme a lot better. So he is looking a lot better. And yeah, I hope and I think it will continue. Mm-hmm. The play he's had these last few games. So he gets the opening goal, and then it's followed up 2 minutes later when the Caps go on the power play by Evgeny Kuznetsov. And this was another kind of a gritty goal. You know, he put in a rebound. Well, let me review. Okay. Oh, this is the one. Okay. So I put in a little note here. Carlson faked it.
Yes.
That's my note. He faked it.
Okay. There is no, that's what she said on that one.
There isn't?
No, not with guys.
You sure?
But okay. I hope.
I wasn't looking for one, but if anything, all right, no, you know, we're not going to go there. But meaning that he faked the shot is what that's all about. And then he dished and found Kuznetsov open, and he tipped in. I think he got two backs at him. I'm looking at the replay. So he's okay. So he's fighting for position. Oh, nope. He got one. He got one tip at it, and he managed to deflect it in. So, yeah, I mean, kind of not really. No. I'm going to say it was a gritty goal, because if you look at the play, he had to fight for position a little bit to get some space. So it was kind of a gritty goal if you think about it. So again, that's, you know, a character goal. Sometimes you have to do that against a team that's not going to give you the respect and the space. So that's what he did. That's what he got. Second of the game for the Caps, and another power play goal. Jordan peeked through the bathroom stall, gets one with 39 seconds left. Or no, 39 seconds into the third, rather.
Mm-hmm.
And then Eller gets another one on the power play on a crazy bounce, making it 3-1. And then Vrana, about a couple minutes later, puts in a wrister, making it 4-1. So we're 5 minutes into the third, and then we're thinking, okay, we got this handled. And that's when the wheels start to come off a little bit.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, and let's see. Tuvo, tear me a new one. Teravainen gets his eighth. About a minute and a half later, on the power play, Caps give up another power play 6 minutes later. Ryan DeZingle puts his eighth in, and it was panic time a little bit. And I don't mean Richard. I mean hot potato chip munching, sandwich eating, beer spilling, pacing. Yeah, because those of us who are all too familiar with this team thought maybe they'd blow it again. Not me, but it just seemed like that was the feeling you got, because it was such a great game up until that point. And then, you know, like I always say, you want your cat to stay out of the box, don't feed him X-lax. Well, that's what happened here. They didn't listen to that. And it was a, you know, friggin' parade to the penalty box, and it missed them.
Right.
And I bit of a segue here. You're a teacher. What do you do? You can't, obviously, we're not this is a 19th century school, but so you can't, you know, take the whip to them or anyway. There's a visual for you folks out there. You on the whip, other side of the, paddles, buds, okay. The speakers or whatnot. So no paddles. What do you do? What would you do with these malcontents who can't seem to not do bad things that they're not supposed to be doing?
Well, the repeat offenders.
Yeah, them.
Yes. Well, we've talked about this before, and I've said that, you know, there's two ways of, say, teaching / coaching, in which you're going to raise your voice and go kind of ballistic and point out all the negatives and what the hell's wrong with you and on and on and on. Or you take the other approach, which is you remain very calm, but you have that I'm very disappointed in the choices that you made angle. And for these guys, it's, you know, you're talking adult to adult, and it's like, you know, throwing a temper tantrum isn't going to do anything. And these guys know better. And sometimes they just need to be.
Did for John Tortorella, it got him a big fat $20,000 fine. But,
which I think is such bullshit, because everything, not everything that he said, but I support a good portion of what he said about the officiating. And 20,000.
Sorry, didn't mean to throw curves at you.
No. But I will say that, you know, he is, you know, there's someone who I wouldn't even say it was a temper tantrum. It was him as a frustrated, passionate coach. Does he drive us everyone nuts? Of course. But he's just kind of, you know, always that fun coach to kind of watch, to be like, his head's gonna explode. He's gonna, you know, like, oh my God.
Todd Reardon is not a head exploding kind of guy, though.
No. And I mean, I've had coaches that have been, you know, on the cerebral end and the mellow end. And I've had coaches that have like thrown kickboards at me and kicked me out of practice. And I can't really say which one, you know, stood out as the one that made me want to be a better swimmer, be a better person. I mean, obviously they both stuck out to me, but you're going to have those things. And I think like, you know, I don't think that Reardon has it in him to be a torts, to really lose his shit. But I do think that he kind of has that father figure look to him and approach to him, that he's going to look at the players as a whole and say, listen, this is what I expect and I'm not getting it. You know, get your shit together. This is why we pay you. This is why you wear these jerseys. This is why you live in DC. And, you know, and then here are all the reasons why you should be doing what you're doing and we're not seeing it. And, you know, you put it on the players and let them reflect on their own. I mean, you could, you know, pull a Bobby Knight Hoosiers and throw chairs and whatever on the basketball court and, you know, have your players terrified of you if you make a mistake. But I think at this level, it's respect. And, you know, to say that you're disappointed in hooking, tripping, you know, stupid. I mean, Nick Dowd throwing the, you know, the stick over the glass. I laughed. I thought it was awesome, but it was like, there's an impulse move. Got him a 10 minute. Was it necessary? Absolutely not. You know, so there's just ways that you have to handle things. So, you know, I think that calling them out on what's expected and what's being, you know, seen on the ice is, you know, that's enough right there for the players. The players have to take it upon themselves. They shouldn't have to have somebody, you know, blown up in their face telling them what they fucked up.
I get that, but okay. I'm kind of a little more old school as that goes. I mean, there's nothing wrong with, you know, putting a boot up somebody's butt when they need it. You know, sometimes that's just the only way to get their attention, get them up and say, hey, you're screwing up, do better.
Right. But there's definitely that way. I mean, you could come out, like I said, I've got the coaches growing up who were like, you know, the fuck are you doing? You're not showing any effort, throwing kickboards, and then just finally like, get out of the water. So it's like, oh my God. Okay. you don't want me in the water, you know, like you're just, so you're kind of looking at your coach like, okay, I finally, like, I disappointed you. I'm a teenager at that time, you know, when this is happening. These are adults, you know, and they should know what's expected of them. And for those impulse, you know, throwing the stick over the glass and some of these penalty minutes, it's like, but actually, now that I think about it, going back to it, if you look at the Carolina penalty minutes versus a good chunk of the San Jose penalty minutes, you know, there was obviously a talking to about, you know, hey, listen, get your shit together kind of stuff. Because Tommy didn't drop the gloves. It was certainly, you know, teetering a couple of moments. So it was there. I don't know if it was from Reardon, but maybe from Blaine. I don't know.
Well, okay. So, all right. You raise a good point. So let us look over the called penalties. Let's see. Seafaller, puck over glass. More on that later, but not in this game. Oh, okay. So the most ridiculous one of all, Samsonov, embellishment for why? Because he got run over.
Exactly.
Somebody runs into you, your arms are going to get flayed back. You're going to fall over. What the fuck was the embellishment for? He wasn't embellishing anything.
Right.
You're falling over backwards. Your natural instinct is going to throw your arms back. So God forbid you don't land on your head on a frozen surface. Who the stupid referees? Dan O'Rourke and Justin St. Pierre. Oh, both of them were shit this game, so it doesn't matter which one of them called it, but they were both shit. But that was the stupidest one of all right there.
Agreed.
How could it be? How could it be goalkeeper interference and embellishment?
Right.
I get how it could be both, but the fact was it was not both. Not my opinion, just fact. You get run over. You see how your body reacts. Are you just gonna fall over? Or are you gonna try and brace yourself? Think about it. Lars Eller interference, and then the Nick Dowd misconduct. I don't know if you saw this, but I think what he actually should have done, he should have just taken his stick and then just brought it home, and then it wouldn't be a souvenir. It would be a louvenir for his son.
No.
Hi, Nick and Paige, if you're listening. I doubt you are, but congratulations, by the way, to the Dowd family.
Yes.
And that should be – I want to make that a thing. I want to make that a thing. Every time he scores or maybe touches the puck or does something, you know, I want the crowd to erupt in one of those old-fashioned loo chants. I would love to hear that again.
It won't happen, but I appreciate
that. That's an awesome name, though. That's an awesome name for his son, though.
Oh, 100%.
I love that. I love that name.
Great. No, it's a great name.
And he already looks like he's going to be a hockey player.
That head of hair.
Yeah. So he's already, he did, week old, he's got the hockey hair already. Okay, so I just got a text from Mrs. Blue Liner. She says, no, stupidest penalty of all was the 10-minute misconduct. Okay, yeah, I get that.
But exactly.
It's stupid on him to do it, stupid in the rules that it's in the rules. I get that. But I if you think about it, I mean, you ought not be throwing things into the crowd.
Well, no. that's my whole point. It's like, you know, that's the time where the coaches in the locker room are going to sit him down, and no one needs to get irate or whatever, but it's just a plain and simple, listen, impulse control, like you're pissed and you should have walked off the ice, but instead you threw an object over the ice that could have knocked somebody out or caused issue, whatever it was, you know, some PR person can take it to a whole different level. And it was stupid, and that doesn't need to happen again. And, you know, a 10-minute penalty, like, Jesus, like 10 minutes. And so it's that kind of stuff that it's, you know, that's behind closed doors. That's however the coaches want to handle it. He didn't do it again today, which is, you know, good. And I do just think, you know, like you have those impulse things, you got to rein them in and say, our penalty minutes in the box were off the charts during this game. And this, I do not want to see this again. And, you know, who knows, maybe the penalty, you know, for these guys is having to do so many extra drills in practice the next day when you're ridiculously exhausted and the coach could give a shit because you made a stupid error like this.
Well, the purpose of the 10-minute misconduct, though, is to build it into the rules. I think the 10-minute misconduct also comes with a fine. So it's not just team-oriented punishment. It's league-wide. Don't throw shit into the crowd.
But it's, you know,
Also, there's an element of unsportsmanlike conduct in that he took the stick from the opposing player. There's also that element. I am the last person to drink Gary Bettman's Kool-Aid and excuse the league for anything. I'm not condoning anything here. I am explaining or trying to here. That's what I'm doing here. So I don't agree with any of it, but I mean, that's why it came down like it came down.
Yeah.
So, but continuing with the penalty report. Okay. So where are we? All right. So we're in the middle of the second period. We haven't even gone through all the penalties. We're in the middle of the second period. And then the Caps decided to turn this into a horror movie. Let's see. 8-12, Alex Ovechkin slashing. 16-18, Tom Wilson slashing. What the hell? Huh?
Nothing. I'm going to say it was totally deserved, but you don't have to tell me, and I'm trying to look at the light at the end of the tunnel. When you look at what they did in the Carolina game, and I think so much of it has to do with, you know, that team, they had a talking to and a little, you know, personal reflection on things that they can and cannot do when they go up against the Sharks. Look at the minutes. So, I don't know. I don't think we need to dwell on the Carolina game because I think it spoke for itself. It was, you know, we got a win, but it wasn't pretty.
I'm only going to go over the last bit of penalty because it actually affected the outcome of the game somewhat. But okay. TJ Oshie, look, I wanted him and or Wilson and or Gudas and or Hathaway and or somebody to take out the body of one Warren Fogle and take him out. Well, I did realize what the consequences of that could have been. And the consequences of that could have been way worse than that Oshie decided to apply some frontier justice on his own. So he, what was it he was called for? Cross-checking 11 minutes in, which resulted in yet another penalty. Now, was that the one? Yes, that was the one that brought Carolina within one. So that could have had dire, dire consequences. So if that's not a lesson learned, I don't know what will be. But funny how karma works. Towards the end of the game, our favorite – I can't believe this guy goes by this name. Dougie Hamilton.
Dougie Hamilton.
So he takes a ride into the boards, courtesy of the same my namesake 77 TJ Oshie. Legal hit, wasn't high hit, wasn't anything wrong with it, and decides, oh, I'm going to punch you back. Hits him in the back of the head, and first thing you're thinking of, hey, this guy's had concussion protocol like early in his career. You don't do that.
Right.
And I'm sure the refs probably took that in consideration too. All in all, dumb ass penalty to be taken late in the game. Of course, what the Caps did with that power play time was equally a stupid thought. They're playing keep away with it the whole time and not bothering to try. I mean, I get you don't want to give, you know, you don't want to give up a shorthanded chance to the most dangerous shorthanded team in the league, but still, I mean, try to score, try to put the game away, maybe.
That's
all I meant. But yeah, other than that, yes, we're pretty much done with that game. Nice, hard fought win. A little bumpy along the way, but nice to see them get the win. And all in all, I think they figured out how to play this team. We'll see how the next one goes. Next one's going to be coming up fairly soon here, as we'll get to in a minute. And then there was today's game. Today, as we're recording this, it is Sunday, January 5th. In the year 2020, and that was against the San Jose Sharks at Capital One. This was a good game. I, unfortunately, of course, it's a Sunday, so I'm working the phones. I'm working my job. I was more or less chained to my desk, but I caught peaks whenever I could. And early on, I didn't give up on this game, but early on, of course, unfortunately, it turned into the freaking Evander Kane show. 16th, 17th, and
18th. Not even just a Evander Kane show, but a fucking hat trick.
Yeah, two out of the three on the power play. Speaking of penalties, get this. Okay, let's see. Richard Ponick, high-sticking. Radko Gudas, slashing. Nick Dowd, puck over glass. John Carlson, over glass. I see another puck over glass penalty. Somebody's going to be put under glass.
Right, that is becoming a terrible, terrible trend for the Capitals. It is. It's like I think we lead the league in penalties in puck over glass, and it's
we lead the league in penalties. Period.
Well, but this like specific one,
that particular one, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a way to calculate how many minutes have been doled out because of that. That, yeah. So point being, okay, after a scoreless first, second, they give it away now. There's a 90s reference for you.
Great band.
Awesome band. Sorry. Lost place here. Okay, so Vrana, after the Evander Kane show, pulls him within one late in the second with a wrister. Nice to see him get on the board. He turned back into Jake the goal scorer as opposed to Jake the snick bit. And so that roll. What's that?
I said he's still so great.
He is.
I mean, he had a miss in the first period. And the cameraman like zoomed in on his face and the frustration and the disappointment and the determination. You just knew that by the end of the game, at some point, Vrana was going to be up there, you know, once, twice, however many times, because that's how he is, you know, like he won't accept a failure. And I think like I nothing but respect for the kid for that. And he turns around.
Is that
around
the shot that he rang off the post?
Well, and it, yeah, like on his knees.
Oh, okay. You know, that one, I must've missed that one.
Yeah. It was good stuff.
The first one where he had all kinds of space and he got every bit of it, but it rang off the post.
All right. And I think that was the one, you know, like they zoomed in and it was like, are you fucking kidding me? And then this one he got and it was spectacular.
Yeah. So the Caps fought most of the third just to stay relevant in this game and they couldn't. And then they pulled Holtby with a couple minutes left and Logan Couture makes it 4-2. And at that point I mistakenly turned the game off.
I will say I did too.
No less a man than Joseph Beninati himself said, well, it's over.
Yeah.
And I said, yep. And I reached for the remote and went click. Little did I know that 13 seconds later, Jacob Vrana would work his magic again and put in his 18th, make it 4-3. So I looked at, I was keeping up through the app and like, all right, well, at least he make the score look good. Ha ha ha. And then I didn't even bother with it. I figured the game was going to tick down. I look at not the app. I look at the Facebook page like 2-3 minutes later and Ronnie right. Schrantz is posting, I don't believe it. I was like, okay, right. What don't you believe? What could have happened? What the hell could have happened? Like, there's no way this team came back. Well, guess what? They came back. 32 seconds.
Yeah.
32 seconds after Vrana got his goal, TJ Oshie gets everybody to stand up playing John Denver again with his 16th.
Mm-hmm.
By doing what he does best, standing in front of the net, blasting away. And wouldn't you know it, we go to overtime. And so nothing happening, chance after chance. And then who should take over? But, oh, I don't know, that guy that most people want going to Seattle.
Right. Exactly.
Let's take a look at the replay here. So Ovechkin dumps it, passes back to Holtby. He bounces a pass off the blue line over to Carlson. He finds Eller on the other wing, and he lifts it over to, well, all right, I'm going to pat myself on the back here. It looks to me like it is Martin Jones's stick side shoulder, which I said, start shooting stick side.
I'm right.
So, okay. Well, the one angle makes it look like it's his glove, but point being, all they had to do was start shooting for the weak point and they would get it. Martin Jones ain't that good a goalie. And yeah. So yeah, I mean, that's all they had to start doing. And they would start putting pucks in the net, and lo and behold, that's what they did. I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot of skill. And here's a guy, I mean, I want to say maybe Eller was one of the guys that people are starting to look to and say, well, he's not really producing either. You know, why isn't he producing? Well, there you go. Just like Joe Beninati said at the end of the game, it's the timing.
Right.
About Holtby. It's the timing. It's not the fact that his numbers aren't so great. And I think the same could be applied to Eller. He is, after all, the one who scored the cup-winning goal.
Right.
Remember, folks?
You know, I don't have anything negative to say about Tiger at all. No way. Jensen? It's a whole other story.
Well, look, okay. So getting to him, I don't think Jensen overall had as bad a game. There were some spots where, yeah, he looked pretty bad, but, and I even thought at one, I saw him on the penalty kill unit. I was like, why is he out there? Why is he? You know, because part of a penalty kill is winning the boards, and half the time I look and I see Jensen involved in a play, he's either flat on his stomach or getting knocked around on the boards.
Yeah.
And then the other half, he's doing wonderful things like clearing the zone. So
I don't know. I just need to see, like I've said it before, he's not on my Orlov list, but he's almost going to join number 9 with me just being like, I need to see something. I'll just leave it at that. I don't dislike the guy, but again, not running out to buy his jersey, even if he is a 3. And yeah, so that's kind of where I stand.
So all in all, your stern-faced lecture for the team about taking penalties worked, because overall, okay, I take it back. It was I'm reading it wrong. I thought I had it in reverse. I thought they only took 4. It was actually 8 minutes in penalties they took.
But so it
kind of worked.
Twice that against Carolina, right?
Yeah, I was going to say it more than double that in the last game. So it kind of worked.
Making progress.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess next time they'll you go in the box and we'll take away your Xbox.
Oh,
how about that?
There you go. Fighting words.
Something like that. Yeah. Them is fighting words, especially the teenagers. Anywho, 3 stars of the game, Lars Eller, of course, Nürnberg 1 with the game winner. Vander Kane, of course, can't deny him. You know, kind of appropriate that he was number two because he is kind of a number two.
He's an ass.
That's what I said. He's a number two. Where do you think number two comes from? And Jacob Vrana with the number three star with a pair. And he definitely showed up and put away a pair.
Yes, he did.
Good on him. So I think he's getting out of his funk, and that's always good to see. So there you have it. Six games, three wins, three losses. The three wins, very good character wins. So, I mean, when I turned off that game, I was all set to give a fire and brimstone lecture about, yes, the team is still in first place. Yes, overall they're doing well, but no, they're not doing well recently, and all that matters is recently. And I even had my winning is a good deodorant line all set to go. And it is a good deodorant, but not so much when you come from behind like this, and certainly not so much when you build off of, you know, bonding as a team and that kind of character and the never say die, never quit mentality, which they put to good use. So as long as they keep pulling wins out like this, like the one they had against not so much Carolina, but the earlier one earlier in the weekend versus the Blue Jackets, which also was an OT, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, then yeah. Not so bad. Now, that's not to say, though, this team ain't got stuff to fix. So, I'm not so blind as to say, hey, look, we're doing great. It's lovely. Everything's wonderful. Sorry, it ain't wonderful. But, you know, it's not so bad. They just, I have confidence in the coaching staff to tweak whatever they need to. And they're gonna. And they already have. And that one game, I think it was also against the Blue Jackets, they switched up the center lines, the centers, and it worked. So I'm not as down as I was maybe, you know, before the mini miracle on ice, if you want to call that. Mini miracle on 7th and F. I don't know. Maybe that'll be coined. But I mean, what do you think?
I honestly, I don't jump on the like the negative. The team's doing terrible. This is what we need to change. For as long as the season is and the 80 plus games, you're going to have your, you know, your ups and downs. And I feel like they have been strong. Their lines are strong. That fourth line, fuck yes. Don't change a thing with that. The goalie situation's awesome. You know, everything is just kind of is working out and the chemistry is there. So I'm okay with it, but you're going to come up against teams that are equivalent to your speed, your skill, your talent, because that's how sports work. And, you know, we're going to get challenged by certain teams and we're going to get stuck in a negative headspace with certain teams. And we're to come out on top with other teams. And I think we just need to just keep going forward and not focusing so much on the negative and, you know, just keep doing what they're doing because they're coming out strong in the third. I'm okay with that because, like we said before, last year they would come out strong in the first and then we would kind of lose all of our steam by the third. Now we're, you know, showing the 60 minutes of hockey. And so
earlier in the season, it was the second period that was their best period. And then they'd fall back in the third. And yeah, you're right. That is a trend worth keeping.
Yeah. For so sure. I'm okay with it. And the guys who are showing up in the third, the Oshies, the Kuzis, Kuvachkin. How about that? I like just put two names together. Kuzi.
Maybe their family's inbred.
Right. I think it's because I'm tired, but that's okay. And I'm going to school tomorrow. I'm like, wow, where's my head? Carlson, you're seeing veteran players playing, you know, into that into that 60 minutes, which is fantastic. You know, we're not just seeing, you know, young legs and whatever. These are the guys who've been doing this for a long time, the ones that are the heart and soul of the team. And how fantastic to see, you know, an Oshie score in the last, you know, what, 20 seconds of the third period. Yeah, because he can. And he can also do it in the first period, the first 20 seconds. You know, so it's to me, it's a good balance and it's a good chemistry. And I think that, you know, hey, and, you know, we got Todd. I don't know. I know people are giving Todd Reirden a hard time about being the all-star coach for the Metro division, but I'm okay with it. Like, why not back him up?
I'm fine with it too. I'm more than fine with it too. Yeah, I don't want to talk about the All-Star game. I already posted what I posted about that, so we're going to skip over that for now. There'll be plenty of time to talk about that. But just want to go over a quick couple of things before we end it for the week. Again, for the show number 121, a bit of a tiny something of a sad note here. One of our very loyal listeners, Lisa Desiree, has been feeling under the weather for a long, long time now. And to the point where she couldn't even go to the game today. She was feeling so bad and had to you know, sell her tickets for the game. So I just want to put out a nice little over-the-air note to her. And we both hope you're feeling real better. I know you've been feeling like crap lately. We know you're going to turn around. Get yourself checked out. Get yourself looked at. Please, please, please. We need all the listeners we can get.
So, 100%. No, she knows. We're in contact. I'm always pulling for healthy vibes for anyone feeling under the weather.
Yeah, most definitely. And speaking of listeners, just want to go over that real quick. We're on a mission of sorts to kind of increase our listenership right now. So if whoever is out there right now, you're a Caps fan and you've got a lot of friends who are Caps fans, please, please, please. We don't do our own advertising except by word of mouth here. So please, if you love us, you download us faithfully, listen to us faithfully, please, please, please tell a Caps fan you love, tell a Caps fan you hate for crying out loud. We don't care about our show. We can be reached most likely at the Podbean site through the Podbean app, but we're also on iTunes, Stitcher, all kinds of providers. That's the Power Play podcast we record every Sunday night. If you want to be a part of the show, we have open mic shows planned where you can call in and hear yourself on the recording later. That's something I want to do at least a couple, three times, at least before we get to the playoffs. So you want to get involved in the recording. Like I always say, we make the fans, the Caps fan, the star here. So get involved. Get involved. Let us know you want to be a part of one of our future episodes. By all means, get involved with us and let us know. And maybe you have your own show out there you want to plug. And that's how we met Josh Kirby, who we hope to have on later on as well. So. Okay, but all right, I'm going to end with a preview of coming attractions. It's not going to be easy, even though they look easy. Ottawa is the next game, Tuesday, the 7th, 7 o'clock puck drop. They're not going to be an easy out, even though they're next to last in the standings. Then it's Carey's team, the Flyers. That's going to be a Wednesday night game, so back to back. It's a national game, unfortunately, so no. Okay, no, I tell a lie. Says NBC SWA. Oh, no. I was right the first time. NBCSN. So the dickheads, I mean the guys over there, be covering that. And then let's see here. Ending the week on a Saturday, back at Cap One, the New Jersey Devils, the whole league's get well card, even though somehow I think they'll be playing us a lot better. 7 o'clock puck drop at Capital One there. So those are the next three games that are coming up. And, of course, Anna, you can hear tomorrow night on Sports on the Hill with Caps Talk. And that, of course, features Carol Porter III and Robbie Gross. We going out live, 7 o'clock, over True Radio Network and Facebook Live. And any other final thoughts?
No. Nothing.
Okay. All right. So, okay. No problem at all. So, gone on a little long. Sorry for that, but thanks for hanging in there. Thanks for listening to us in this first show of 2020. And again, tell a Caps fan you love or hate today, tomorrow, whenever about our show. We can be reached anywhere. You got a question, we can be reached anywhere, especially through Facebook. So for Anox, for you out there in the District of Columbia, State of Maryland, and Commonwealth of Virginia, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you, my wife told me to take the spider out instead of killing him. I couldn't do it. We went out, had a few drinks, nice guy, found out he's a web designer.
Nope.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
I can't hear anything in my headset except your voice.
Lucky you. Shut up.
Really?
Shut up.